assuming that Doc's not stoned. He lives in Hawaii, mate. Come on.
There's going to be a lawsuit.
No, yeah, I've recorded that as well. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, two in a row. We're getting there. It's going to happen. Don't worry. We're wishing Doc, we're sending love to the Doc because he went under the knife on Monday. He's got a new knee. He sent us a picture of it, which I'm not going to show because some of you may be having your tea. And it's a neat job. I got to say, though, the stitches look pretty good. So it's not all bad. Patrice has fumbled around with the code this week on the website and has, in his words, accidentally fixed it.
Yep. I didn't intend to. It just happened.
So the live feed is actually watchable now. And and we've got a few people still missing. They're not dialed in yet. So that'd be interesting. So it's been a good week all round, really. We've got to watch Doc be in pain and... we've got ourselves sorted out with a new feed that works. So whatever you did, Patrice, cast it in stone. Do not change it, and we'll be laughing. Joining me, the usual panel of wonderful, wonderful people who are going to take us through the week in Apple. And we've got a bit of news today, some new stuff to talk about. Join us, start off with Patrice. How you doing, mate?
Doing good, doing good. Have been actually not a bad week. I signed my contract here in Austria yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm ready to go.
So you're ready to go. So you've been getting paid though, haven't you?
Yeah. I have a contract in Germany till the end. I mean, till basically the contract year starts. Like it's just an internal transfer. So it's like more paperwork than anything else.
That's all right, mate. You can take it with a bit of paperwork. But have you been working or you've not? Have you been just in sitting waiting for everything to kick off?
No, I've been working. Like, I mean, I said it last time. It's not super busy, like working 10 hours a day or whatever, which like I'm used to. But no, I've had like quite a bit of work this week.
Cool. How can he work 10 hours a day when he watches all the Apple Plus shows?
Because I can do that on the side. Yeah. Like, that's why you have a second screen.
Yeah, exactly. You can concentrate. I do it when I'm editing. I can have stuff on in the background if I'm editing photos because it's all I'm on autopilot.
But exactly.
Just moving sliders stuff around. So, yeah. That's good, mate. That's good. So does that mean you've got to go in the office next week?
No, the contract only starts January 1st, like for budget reasons for the most part. So I still got like a month and a half, basically.
Does that mean you're not coming on the shows anymore?
No, that should still work. Like, I mean, it's actually easier here because of the time zone. Like, Friday I'm off early anyway, and it's end of the day, so that should actually work.
I'm an hour ahead.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. That's good news. That's music to our ears. So, Patrice, on both shows, going forwards forever. All we've got to do is get Adam back, and we're laughing now. We're packed out.
Yeah, I mean, all I have to do is then when my family comes over, find like a calm space somewhere. That might be the bigger issue.
No, I'll get him on the show, mate. Be fine.
That would be funny.
Next to him, Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Now, we've had emails. Oh, don't start yet, mate. Okay. Oh, mate, we've had emails. Right.
Okay.
Mark Sissner's written in with appreciation for the Jeff weather check.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm glad that I'm bringing value to someone's life.
So the weather in Boulder is this week in Boulder.
It's mild and it has been sunny and we are actually going to get back up to nearly 60 Fahrenheit today.
Jeez. One of the reasons Mark's doing it is because Mark's an ex-Apple genius or an ex-Apple developer, worked for Apple for a lot of years. And he's the guy that sent a load of disks over and helped me out when I was trying to get the Mac SE prototype back up and running and told us about all the stiction issues and that kind of stuff. So he lives in Canada and he said, I'm going to give you Jeff's mild winter and I'm going to raise you a frozen lake already or a frozen river, sorry, already.
I am not surprised. There is this massive Arctic thing that just came right down through Canada and into the central United States.
Yeah.
And places are seeing record low temperatures. And where I am, we're just outside that. So while everyone else is freezing, we're outside in t-shirts.
Cold as tropical. Yeah, but there you go.
There's... A friend of mine from Iowa, like they've had already about a third of the total snowfall for usually an entire winter just in like in October, November.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So there's a picture of the river. I keep saying lake, but it's not. It's a river, and the river's frozen. So it's that bad. I'm sure it's like loose underneath, but the top of the river's frozen. But based on the way it's peaking, it's just like I can't see how they're not going to go skating on that, are they? That's like it's a field, and it's not. It's a river. That's cool. How the devil have you been, Jeff? Now we've got the weather report out of the way.
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying our sunny weather and hanging out with all of you.
Excellent, mate. Superb. And last but by no means least, Muller's in the studio filling in and manfully stepping up to give his considered opinion on Apple stuff.
Yeah.
Which he spends a fortune on
the studio. Unfortunately. Yeah. Can I do weather in Birmingham? Because it's as important.
It's pissing down, mate, and it's pissed down all week. And it's not done anything else. Oh, yesterday, my drive was flooded. I drove through Solihull today, and it was like I was looking across a lake.
I tried to walk down to Asda, and I couldn't go my normal route. The river had overflowed. I had to walk the long way around. And yeah. I got wet. Soaked.
Absolutely soaked.
And there was a bear in a tree.
No, there wasn't. No. I'm not having that. You're not diminishing Dave's, Dave, Jesus Christ. Jeff's bear in his tree.
Okay, I'll take a picture of it when I next pass, because it's always there.
Dude, that's a teddy bear, mate. It's a stuffed teddy bear, yeah. That's all you've got, and you know it. The Week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on, can't really go anywhere else without starting with an interview with Phil Schiller that said the biggest complaint that we had about the old MacBook Pro with Touch Bar was the keyboard. Well. James Rickards is coming over a bit later for the big show. We'll ask him about what he thinks about the old MacBook Pro keyboard, because he loved it. James,
my fifth keyboard.
No, good God,
Jesus! I'm lucky. I haven't had any replacements.
We should get in touch with iMen Max and see if they've done how many keyboards they've had to do.
Probably
none, because they're all under warranty because it was so crap. So all your problems are solved, though, because the keyboard is now gone and they've gone back to the structure that they had before, and they've gone for the scissors, and not surprisingly, they've released the 16-inch MacBook Pro. Mm. I was dead excited to see this because I love my 17-inch MacBook Pro. I thought it was a gorgeous machine. I adored it. I bought the top of the range. It was £3,200 when I bought it in 2008, I think it was. And I absolutely adored it. So the fact that we're coming back with a massive screen, love it. And then I read the price.
Yeah, I mean, they basically replaced the 15-inch. And I mean, the interesting thing is, if you listen to like Apple and interviews with like the product manager for the MacBook Pros and so on, they didn't just go back to the original keyboard. I mean, they kind of said, yeah, we switched back the switches, but we also re-engineered the entire thing. So like they tried to listen to people for a change, which is surprising for Apple. Mm. And like, but they also looked at what do people really care about? Like, for example, how big the keys are, key travel, the sound was very important. Like they wanted to make it produce as little noise as possible, because like you might be using it next to whatever, your wife who's like reading a book, or like in an office environment where like you don't want to have a really loud keyboard, stuff like that. So they really went back to the drawing board, starting from like a good, pretty good keyboard, but then trying to improve it, which is a pretty Apple thing if you think about it. Like they're not just saying, oh, we went back because the new one sucked. No, we redid it with something that was better.
Which is good. Yeah, okay, they've listened. You've got to give them credit for that. They have listened. Fair enough. I'm not going to knock that bit of it. So we took it and we tested it on 58 people in a quiet environment in an anechoic chamber and looked through 200 mechanisms of keyboard movement, said which sound they preferred the most. Yeah, that's a bit pretentious, but
Yeah, it's kind of
Apple.
It is Apple. Yeah,
that is. I said, like, that's their reasoning for saying, like, they're not really admitting that the old one was bad per se. They're just saying, yeah, we found a better way, basically.
It's just, I love the fact that Apple go, we're not admitting it's shit. You don't have to, guys. Everyone said it was shit. Everyone who bought it said it was shit. So therefore, it's shit. Whether you say, no matter what you say, it is. This one's going back. The arrow keys go back to the old layout, the up, down, left, right on the right-hand side. They've also done a 720p forward-facing camera, which I'm surprised at that. I thought they might do 1080 on that, but yeah, I guess you don't.
I'm surprised too.
I thought they'd go 1080.
Especially because they did the new mic configuration. And so it seems to me that what they did was set up a computer so that if you needed to do a video recording without any extra gear, like in a pinch, you had everything you needed right there. So why not have the camera to go along with that?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's just the same camera as like before. It has been crap for a while. I still get it. Like, I don't think it's going to cost Apple that much more to do a 1080p camera at this point. Like,
yeah, and just, I can't imagine at this point it's a physical size issue where the 1080p camera wouldn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not a chip designer. I couldn't tell you. Tom might be better for that. I could imagine that it's maybe like a half a millimeter thicker, and then the display would have been half a millimeter thicker, which I don't think is a big issue, but it's Apple.
IMen Max are watching. Hello, boys in the chat room. Joe and Callum up there, and Mo over in the heart of the bowels of IMen Mac, because they've just tweeted me and they said we've actually changed quite a few. And they're incredibly difficult to do because the keyboard is riveted in. So trying to get them out is an absolute pain in the arse. I said the arse bit. They didn't say the arse bit. So it's they're not easy. Not easy at all.
That must be why when Apple does it, they just replace the whole top case.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it's not a simple serviceable part, clearly. That's really cool. They mention us. How's that? That's awesome. I love that. People when they work out there's a chat room and they're not in it. guys, get yourself to, hang on, I'll put the credentials up for the chat room. It's an IRC chat room, irc.geekshed.net, and the hashtag is British Tech Network. Although because it's Friday afternoon, we've only got a few people who are insomniacs in California who are watching, or Hawaii, and a couple of people who aren't home from work yet, but we'll get better for Big Show later on.
Other than that, I'm very excited about the new MacBook. I mean, I'm not going to buy it anytime soon, but as you, like, I mean, I've never owned a 17-inch, but I wish I had because I just like the bigger size.
That was good because it had a replaceable battery. You could take the battery out and put a new one in if it broke.
Yeah, I mean, it weighed like 10 kilos as well.
It was a portable desktop computer.
I'm going to bring it in. I've still got it at home. It's on the shelf at home. It still fires up. It's got Snow Leopard on it. Still works all just fine. Absolutely dandy. Nothing wrong with it at all. Little bit slow if you put a big image in. But I used to
you
do
could
Final
kill
Cut
someone
on it.
With that.
Yeah, I used to do well, no, because you'd never raise it above your head. I could do Final Cut on that, and it worked the time. It worked all right. And that was Final Cut 7 when Final Cut was shit. I hated 7. I loathed 7. I was so happy when they did 10. But it's a great computer. And the screen is still really nice. And the thing was as well, is the best bit, matte finish on the screen. No glossy, shiny shit. It was just perfect matte screen. It was ideal. Loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great device. I mean, I knew very few people that ever bought one. I think that's the whole reason why Apple eventually stopped it. But now, I mean, they're going back. I mean, the question is, what's the reasoning? I mean, they haven't reached, they actually made the whole thing bigger. So like the whole rumor of, oh, it's the same size as the 15-inch and they just increased it or just basically decreased the bezels. That doesn't seem to be true. Like it's actually bigger. I mean, not much because the difference between, was it 15.4 and 16 inches? Not that much.
But the viewable screen size is the same on this 16-inch as it was on the 17, isn't it?
Probably, close. No, no, it shouldn't, because, I mean, that's the screen size, like 16
No, no, the viewable size, because you had bezel on the other one.
Yeah, but it was the 17-inch, I think, was the viewable size.
Oh, right, okay.
That was the actual screen. So it was actually bigger in 17, because the bezel was bigger.
I'll have to go and bring, I'll bring mine next week. Now, I'm not saying it was a bulky laptop, but you could have turned it into a fish tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam in the chat room saying he's going to wait for a refurbished 16-inch before he changes. He can't afford it. And he's put, if you put an SSD in that 17-inch, it'd be really snappy. It's actually got 2 1-terabyte SSDs in it. They cost me a fortune, but it's a 2-terabyte laptop.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. They cost me a fortune. I mean, I'm going back. It's a 2008, and the next one I bought was a 2012. So I probably put those in about 2010. So two 1-terabyte laptop. Did I start with spinning? I might have gone spinning first, and then I think I put an SSD in it. So
it's only a
Core
Duo, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, I always never had a problem with it. Like I said, I ran Final Cut. I did video on it. I did photos on it, and it was a lovely machine. But we're not here to reminisce about that. We're here to talk about the 16-inch. Starting price is loopy juice, and it goes up to 6.5K for the top end. So when I bought my 17-inch and when I bought my 15-inch after that, I maxed it out. I maxed both of those out, and they came to £3,200. And that was like the max price of all of the laptops whenever you did them. And I think Apple have got to be careful, because I know you come back with the argument, oh, yeah, but you look at the spec that's in it, that's the maximum spec. Well, yeah, I get that, but you know, if you want the screen size, and I do want the screen size, then is the low-end version still going to rip the arse out of what I've currently got, or do I need to go higher with that? And they give you a crap terabytes, you know, they give you a crap SSD size. You know, if you go, I just want a bigger SSD, they hawk you on it, and that's where they should fall down. So, like, look, I like the spec, the processor's great, the RAM's fine, I just want the 1 terabyte for storage. You know, that should be a simple and fairly cheap upgrade, and they don't. They just absolutely cane you for it.
Yeah, I mean, the top price, Apple has offered more options this time around. I mean, traditionally, Apple was like, I mean, there was like a base spec, and then you had maybe one option or two. Like, you could usually change the RAM and change the SSD, maybe the CPU. But this time around, I mean, there for the 16-inch, there are a lot of options. I mean, you can go with a Core i9. You can go like I think it's eight gigabytes of video RAM. You can go up to I think 8 terabytes of storage. Was it 64 gigs of RAM? I think. So there are a lot more options than you had before, and like I mean, obviously they're going to cost. And I mean, we know Apple. I mean, the thing. Back in the day when I bought my first MacBook, I remember, I mean, Apple charged $100 for changing a color. So, and the like upgrade prices were in general, I think, higher than they are today. But Apple still, like, I mean, they charged crazy amounts of money for like a simple RAM upgrade back then. And they're still doing it today.
See, the thing is that's nice. I've gone on, and the basic price is $2,300. And I'm going to go and say, right, that is a good spec for a 6-core machine. That is nice.
Yeah.
I've got no issue with that at all.
And that's the same price as the 15-inch, by the way. That's exactly the same price.
16-inch. But it's 512 of SSD, okay? For £2,399 pounds here in the UK.
Yeah.
You go up and you say, right, all I'm changing is I just want the 1 terabyte SSD. And yes, you're going to get a little bit more because you're getting the Radeon Pro 550 and you're going to 4.8 gigahertz. So you are getting a lot more there. But what I want is I'd really love the standard version, but just have the 1 terabyte on it.
You can do that.
That would be enough.
You can do that.
Yeah, I know.
I did spec that out, and I think it was an extra, I think $300.
4 terabytes. It's 180 quid extra.
Yeah.
So.
Is that like.
That's better than, actually, no, I'm going to eat my words now. I don't do it often. I haven't thought about this much, but actually 180 quid for an extra 512 of storage. I'm not going to complain at that. I'm sorry, Apple.
Yeah.
I called you wrong there. Oh. 900 for 4 terabytes, you thieving bastards. But no. I've gone 8 terabytes, $2,000 for an extra 8 terabytes. Oh, mm-hmm. That's why it's gone up to 6K then.
Well, how about like on the what's it going with, 16 gigs of RAM, bumping up to 32 gigs of RAM, that's another $400.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah, the RAM prices just hurt.
Yeah, yeah, all right. I mean, let's give them 32 grief. Gigs is not that expensive.
Yeah, okay, so it's 360 quid extra, so I'm not going to give them shit over the terabyte storage. I'm going to give them shit over the RAM because that is disgraceful. Yeah. 360 quid for 16 gigabyte extra.
What are you 32 gigs for?
You probably would use 32 in video and high-end photo. So
I mean, that's the one upgrade I would do. I don't need much storage space, but I definitely need RAM. Like, I'm running virtual machines and stuff on my machine.
Then you go for a pro, surely. You wouldn't buy a laptop.
For sure.
They get too hot.
Sam is saying, can you pop the back off? I'm presuming he's still talking about the Mac, but I would say no, probably not. He needs to, because I guess Seven's appeared in the chat room, so that might be the boys from IMN Mac. Mm-hmm. So, 32 gig for video for sure, says Sam.
Yeah.
No, guess Seven is now Wes. Sorry, it's not. It's not the boys from IMN Mac.
Yeah, can you still pop the back off? I don't know what he's talking about. Is it like the MacBooks? I mean, you can still pop the back off of the MacBook.
That might be a sexual thing. I don't
know. Not much to do.
Could be anything.
Well, the nice thing about able to pop the back off of the computer.
I would say he's Sam B. Assman, so the back, popping the back off could be entirely different.
It could be, yeah.
He's never going to tune in live again, is he?
Yeah, the last time my MacBook Pro went in to the Genius Bar for the keyboard, I was having other trouble with it too. Like it would crash when it would go to sleep, and then I couldn't get it to turn back on. I was getting a dim spot on the display. Anyhow, when everything was said and done, they took the back panel off, put it on another computer, flashed the logic board to match my serial number, and sent me a new computer with my old back panel on it. So there's the value in being able to pop off the back panel.
Right.
Okay. You get to keep your serial number.
So I'm going to say, if you go for the 2700 version, which is the 16-inch with a 1 terabyte drive and 16 gig of RAM, that's actually probably not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's still more expensive than the MacBook Pro used to be. I mean, remember, like, a couple of years back, they bumped up the prices. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a shame that you've lost that ability to upgrade. I really lament the idea of changing out my own RAM and that kind of stuff would be crucial.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm sure if you've got I don't know. The boys are going to send me a tweet, I hope, in a minute. But IMN Max could perhaps solder in new RAM for you if you can get hold of it. I don't know.
I think the,
can you do that?
Isn't the SSD removable now?
Whether you want to do it on a warranty machine or not, different question.
No. I mean, anything is possible probably, but I doubt it. I think it's probably too small to do that. I mean, they're very thin, like very dense right now.
I've been watching one of the online places. I won't mention who because he hates Apple, but the RAM comes on its own little daughter card, and the SSDs plug in as well, so they could probably just replace the card.
Not on a Mac anymore. Like that other than battery and the SSD, it's for the most part all like one board.
Yeah, that's why if you have to have a new logic board put in your computer, you get a blank SSD or, well, just the operating system on it because the drive you had doesn't move over.
Yeah.
I'll fish out the video because he said you can just unplug it and then plug it back in again.
Because at the SSD, you can. SSD, I don't know why Apple wouldn't be doing that, but like you can. I mean, you can actually replace them. So that's the only thing really other than the battery you can still replace. And I mean, let's be honest, the MacBook is for the most part, like the display and the battery are the biggest part.
Oh, yeah, as well, because it's echeloned, isn't it? The battery's split and waved up into different sections as well. Yeah. The SSD requires soldering, confirms Sam.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
New machine. Now I've had that little conversation with you guys. I'm a little bit more positive about it, I have to say. I've been a bit harsh. But the RAM is a little bit of a bugbear still. But, 15-inch discontinued as well. Mm-hmm. Is that 1 inch going to make a difference?
It's not even 1 inch. The 15 was actually 15.4. So it's 0.6 inches difference.
Wow, okay.
So no, it makes a small difference, like for people like me who like literally need every little bit of screen real estate that they can get, or you as well, Ewan. But like for most people, probably it doesn't, and I think that's the reason why Apple's simply replacing it.
Yeah. If you heard some audio, then I think we're interrupting Muller's viewing pleasure somewhere.
I was trying to find that video.
Iman Max is still tweeting me. Watching whilst we work. Thank you.
And thanks.
They've sent another one that says, because it hasn't come through on Tweetbot yet, so I've still got to wait for it to come off there. The comment was, getting hold of the new chips is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can get hold of the chips, you're in, boys. But afraid not. Cool. Apple has announced, this is interesting, Apple's announced the new Mac Pro and Pro Display XDR to ship in December.
Mm-hmm. Still no prices.
I thought I saw one that was like 5,000 something or other.
Well, that's the price they announced in June. I mean, the base price they had announced.
Yeah,
I
remember the whole 5,999.
Yeah.
What was that's the Mac Pro. That's the Pro. It's not the screen. Yeah, monitor costs 499 or 5,999.
Yeah. I mean, that we knew. What's interesting
right.
is that Apple is...
Sorry, one at a time. Finish off what you're saying, Patrice.
Apple has also talked about that little, what was it called? The speed enhancing card that they had. I can't remember what it was. Afterburner, I think.
Right.
Originally they said, I think it was 3 or 4 parallel streams, AK streams that it could process. And Apple has doubled that. So since the summer, they have somehow improved that card, and it basically just doubled the things that they said it would before, which is pretty impressive in itself.
Yeah.
I've just got a message through from Rob. He's put, Ewan, what the bloody hell have you done? The video's working perfectly.
Yeah. What an accident.
I'd like to say Patrice knows, but he doesn't. He just,
nope.
He just got in there. He just lifted the hood up, got a couple of spanners, gave it a good old spack, and, you know, is what it is.
He put his hands on his chin like that and go...
But no one's allowed to touch the servers anymore. No one is allowed to touch the servers.
Exactly.
Oh, mate. Yeah, so they've got the ludicrous stand on this one as well, haven't they? The $1,000 stand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd love a new Mac Pro. I really would. But it's just, the one I've got is beautiful. It runs, well, before we thought that all of these problems we had with the video was because of my computer, but it's not. It clearly was the server, so, because I've changed nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's running smooth as silk. Click a snot. That's all we need. I mean, these screens, I'm sure, are absolutely luscious. But it's so here's an example, right? So I've sold a pile of my Sony gear because I love the video camera, but I just couldn't get on with the stills camera. I really didn't enjoy it. It was crap in the studio. I loathed it in the studio environment. Mm. It was all right on site, but it was, you know, it wasn't my thing. I thought, well, I need a bit of Canon stuff that I've missed, so I'm going to get that. So I'm going to just take it up to Wex and I'm going to chuck it in, see what they give me for it. And they gave me a good price for it. And I had a grand more, and I've bought myself a Bellingham bag. So now, like, Bellingham bags are stunning. They are handmade, gorgeous leather bags. They look stunning. They're absolutely incredible. And I've always wanted one. It's been a bucket list item, but I just couldn't justify £400 on a bag. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, probably the same size as a bag I could buy for £150 in a cheaper material. But I spent all the money on it. I was like, okay, what I've got a grand left over. do I want anything else? No, I don't actually want anything else. So I'm going to buy something frivolous. And it's just like, you know what? Because I've got this money left over and I'll forget about it and I won't use it and I've only got 6 months to use it, I'm going to buy the Bellingham Mac because then it's one off the bucket list and I've bought it. And the Mac Pro is a little bit like that for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could buy one. It'd be great. It'd be lovely. I'm sure it'd be an incredible, incredible machine. But I just can't justify my own mind spending that amount of money. You could buy a car with that amount of money, and I just cannot bring myself to do it. Yeah, I just don't know.
And I mean, the truth is, there are, like, for what you do, there are plenty of other machines that you could buy for less money. I think Apple is pretty smart in how they've lined up their Macs, basically, from the MacBook Air, the MacBook Pros, the Mac Mini, the two iMacs, like the iMac and iMac Pro, depending on what you need, and then the Mac Pro. I think there's a pretty clear line who would need what, and I think you're in the, I mean, you, if you needed the Mac Pro truly, then you would find that money. Like, then you would say, okay, it's worth it for me because I'm going to spend six, seven, whatever grand, but it's worth it. And I'm going to make it back in like a year or two. I want it, but I don't need it. It's like a clear indication.
Well, I was using the MacBook Pro before and in my own mind, I justified that I was probably spending a day editing footage and I could spend half a day on the same amount of footage because it would just crunch out faster. So I did have a logic. Yeah, no, it is. That was significant. Whether I get that same benefit with the new one, I'm not sure I get that much, but you know, it might be a quarter or something like that. But comment through here from I'm in Max, they've put down, can't change the RAM on models from late 2012 onwards, but we can change the RAM that's soldered to the board, but not upgrade it. So they can swap out the RAM, but they can't put new stuff in that's faster. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's interesting.
So they could fix RAM if it was broken for some reason, but they can't upgrade it.
Yeah.
Still good to know.
Thanks, boys. We still got a chat room if you want to come into it.
But. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as someone who's probably the only one here who has seen the Mac Pro, I mean, I haven't been able to touch it because Apple wouldn't allow that, but I've seen it and I've seen people working with it and it is a screaming fast machine. But like, as you said, it's designed for a very specific target audience, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Apple's revamp. No, I've done that one. Apple's removing vaping related apps. I thought that was quite interesting. They're getting rid of the vaping apps. And I can see why they're doing it. And I think they're dead right to as well. But it's just kind of like, it's not as invasive and offensive as smoking and that kind of stuff. It does feel, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
There's been stuff on the TV about people getting, particularly youngsters.
Yeah, there's a lot of people vaping when they don't smoke.
Yeah, there was an issue with a child. He was 16 and he was vaping and he nearly died. It caused some issues with his lungs.
People have died and there are a lot of injuries right now, like especially in the US. Like it's still not clear. Like we're still trying to figure out what is even going on. It's always hard to say, like, is Apple right to do that? I mean, on the one hand, you can say, I mean, it's people's choices. Like, if they want to find vaping information, if they want to find an app and use it, it's like, it's on them. I mean, Apple could have just reclassified apps as 18 plus and, like, tried to limit it that way. It's always hard to tell. I mean, is there a real danger that Apple is preventing by not having the apps? I don't think so. I mean, personally, like, I would say good for them. Let's remove those apps. Let's take them away. But, like, if you really objectively look at it, I don't know whether it matters or not. I think this is more, it honestly looks more like a publicity thing.
I agree. I think Apple's making a statement by pulling these apps because it's not like, to the best of my knowledge, that these apps are actually increasing vape usage. They just seem like a supplement to
the vaping. Yeah, I've seen people that have tried to give up smoking and now they smoke and vape. And they're not actually smoking any less. They're just vaping more.
Yeah, well, there was a really... Go ahead, Jeff.
We have a huge vaping problem in Boulder, and it's become so much of an issue that instead of getting addicted to smoking cigarettes, teenagers, you know, like 13, 14, 15 year old kids are getting heavily addicted to vaping, and vaping has become such a big thing here that it just across the age spectrum, you can't go anywhere in Boulder without being exposed to vaping. Mm-hmm. And so in that respect, anything that can be done to help curb that sounds like a good thing to me. So from that perspective, pulling these apps sounds great. But yeah, I think it's just a publicity statement.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, there was a really good episode of Science Versus fairly recently about that topic. So if you're interested in like the science behind it and what's really going on and like also the health effects, then listen to that.
Yeah, Sam's saying the same thing that you guys are saying about the kids are being targeted with the vaping adverts and also the paraphernalia that goes with it,
yeah,
because it's a cheap and easy sell for people to get kids involved.
Yeah, I think that the risk really is that a lot of people think it is healthy or healthier, and like, I mean, yeah, it is healthier than actually smoking. But that's like saying, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like saying drinking a little bit of mercury is better than drinking a little bit of arsenic.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah. Apple News Plus is struggling to get new subscribers, allegedly. There was a huge rush of 200,000 subscribers within the first 48 hours, but that's not continued as an incline. It's been a very slow and steady fall from that point forward. And I've got to say, anecdotally, because obviously we've got no data on this, Apple wouldn't release it, I'm sure, but anecdotally on this, the number of people who are talking about News Plus and saying that they've signed up to it in the Slack instance and people that I've spoken to in the wild, that has gone off. It's dropped off a cliff. No one's talking about it anymore at all. And I think that's one of the things, is that Apple doesn't seem to be pushing it particularly well.
No, that's the thing. I mean, the offerings are not very interesting. Like, I mean, I thought about it. I'm a news, like, I read the news religiously and a lot, like 2-3 times a day I will check. I use Apple News a lot. But like, what they're offering is simply not interesting enough for me to pay for it. I mean, I would gladly pay for it if there was something I would say, yes, I want that, but there's nothing.
No. Yeah, it's not the best of services. And I think people that had Readly before are going, oh, yeah, it's as good as Readly. And then they're sitting there going, actually, Readly's better.
Yeah. I mean, the app is good. Like, I really like the news app and I'm very happy with it. And like, it's just the content is not there.
I think Apple thought there'd be a viral element too, where people would go, oh, you've got to see this story. Because if I get a story from, say, Muller, who says, oh, you know, here's a story for Apple for you for Friday. And if it's got Apple Plus on it, as soon as I click on it, it's like, no, you've got to sign up and read the rest of the story. And you're like, I can't be arsed, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, the only time I use the news app and I guess to any degree, the service, is when someone sends me a link to an article and I click it and it opens a news app and either it's something I can read or it's something where I have to sign up and then I don't read.
Yeah. I mean, the few times I've tapped on like an Apple News Plus article or like I was actually interested like 2-3 times maybe in total, I saw the, sign up to read this, and I immediately close it. I'm like, I'm not that interested in it to pay for it. I'm like, nope. Not interesting enough.
Yeah, no. It's comments in the chat room here. Not interested in Apple News at all. Don't even have news installed. Cancelled Arcade today as well, says Bob. TV Plus is great, but I get that free anyway. So, yeah, it's people not impressed. Apple, this is one for you, Patrice, a little bit more perhaps. And if you feel like you can't comment because of work and stuff, then it's okay.
Okay.
Say so. Apple's research app launches with heart, women's health, and hearing studies. So Apple has announced that it's got 3 studies relating to the heart and movement, women's health and hearing, and the app is designed to make it easier for iPhone users to contribute to medical research studies. I'm guessing this is right up your alley, really, mate.
It is. Apple actually talked about this in June when they announced the research app and the whole thing. They talked about the studies as well. Now they are available. I think this is a good thing. I mean, we've seen with the heart study that it is a super powerful tool. Like Apple's platform is, especially with the engagement and with the Apple Watch and everything they have, it is a really good research tool where you can get a lot of valuable data from like yeah. participants. So I'm very happy. I mean, the studies are interesting. I looked at them. We'll see. I mean, from what I've heard in like the medical industry in general and also the research community, they're very excited about this and they're looking forward to the data they're going to gather and the results they're going to get.
I think what's nice is the fact that you know, Apple are designed to sell consumer electronics products, and the people, when you get the fanboys go, oh no, that, you know, the Apple's doing this for these lofty reasons. You're like, oh, pull the other one, mate. They really aren't. But unanimously, when we've watched the keynotes, we've all said that looks really cool. And I think also the amount of effort that Apple's putting into it, they're not going to yield research money in from it. They are genuinely doing it as an egalitarian measure, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a sales pitch at all.
And it's not even Apple who's doing it. Apple is facilitating here. There are universities and research institutes behind it that are actually doing the research. Apple is literally just providing the app, the platform, the integration, some marketing as well. Like, I mean, they did that with a heart study where they marketed it in a couple of ways, like on the App Store, in like on events and so on. But for the most part, Apple is only the facilitator, but they're doing a really great job at doing that. And as said, like, I mean, it has helped Apple. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure the ECG functionality, I think they said even, is a direct result out of those studies. Yeah. And I mean, that helped Apple sell more Apple Watches. So it kind of like it's.
Yeah, I'm going to say there is a link there, but I think it's not an out and out sales campaign, no. Is it? It's not a.
No.
There's a lot more egalitarian element to this.
Yeah. And I think that was more like an act. I mean, they, even before the heart study, Apple was talking. I mean, there were rumors that Apple was working on something. I mean, with the Apple Watch. I mean, remember the first Apple Watch had the heart, the tracking information, all of that even enabled this. So it's more like, I think it's an indirect result, but Apple surely still benefits from it some way. But yeah, I mean, the things they're doing right now, they're set very, very interesting. Trying to remember what the three studies were. One is about women's menstruation and like issues with that, health issues that come with it. The other two I can't remember.
Yeah. Jeff, any thoughts? I know Muller probably hasn't got any, but no, I know. I don't mean that nastily. That's not suggesting that Ellis, Muller's brain is vacant.
No, but there's a track record with the jokes. So even when it's not a joke, anyhow. All right. So what Apple's doing here with the studies, facilitating the studies, is great. And I love that they're doing this. And I think that part of what they're doing with facilitating these studies is a goodwill gesture. And it's also a way for Apple to say, look, you know, we told you we're serious about being in the health and fitness space. Mm-hmm. And these are the things we're doing to back up what we're saying. It's not just about selling hardware. It's also about improving the quality of life for people. Mm-hmm. And I think even though the bottom line is they need to sell stuff and make money, I think that there's a big internal drive about doing this because they feel like it's the right thing to do and it's a way to help.
Yeah, and then Apple is in a very unique position here. I mean, there are very few. I mean, I would say every, like any university, any research department, anybody like would have a hard time getting this many participants. Like it is very. I mean, it usually requires a government level support to get like this amount of data. So like anybody would love to have that. And Apple is in a unique position that they can provide it. I think other than maybe Google now with Fitbit, there's nobody out there who could do this. And I actually looked up, the other one is the Apple Heart and Movement Study, so the linkage between heart health and your exercise, your movement. And the last one is the Hearing Study, where they keep track of, like with the new Apple Watch functionality, they keep track of like noise levels and the effects of that. So really interesting.
I've got a bit of help here from Bob Beach. He said, CSR, mate, it's corporate social responsibility. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
And he's put, Bob Beach has also said, Muller, he's vacant, pretty vacant. So there you go. Bob thinks you're pretty, Muller.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Don't worry. I can blank that finger out. Apple may be considering bundling Apple TV, Apple Music, Apple TV Plus and News Plus as early as 2020. Now, I've got to say, if they did music and TV together, that makes logical sense, but I don't see the logic in bundling news with it because it just, it's... It's left field.
Here's the logic. It keeps news alive.
Exactly. Yes. From what, based on what we've just said. Yes. Ah, Joe's in from I'm in Max. Hello, Joe. Welcome into the chat room. Glad you found it in the end. Apple always wants to think about the health of their customers and the wider world and how to look early when the environmental friendly way of making products. There we go. Joe, you should come on the show, mate. I did ask you. We've got a spare slot here. You can sit in here and give us your commentary. That would work. I think you're exactly right there, Jeff. It just keeps news alive because actually news is a bit of a bag of shit. But music and TV together. So I'm paying $14.99 for the family bundle at the moment and $4.99 for TV. So if you bundle that all together and you gave me it for $15, yeah, sold. No question. Happily. But if you're going to bundle it together with me for $20, then no, I'm not, because it's 2p more. $15 for the family. Yeah, fair enough. I'll do $15 for the family, but I don't know what they can do. $17? £17? I don't know. Who knows?
I said to you last week they should bundle a few together.
Oh, we've just got there's a message, a little subtle message from Joe at IMN Max saying, yeah, Callum's coming on soon. There you go. That's management. Yeah. That's management responsibility. Callum's coming on soon, mate.
Yeah, Sam is saying he thinks Apple's doing a great job at the health in the health space.
Yeah.
But he hopes that they aren't targeted by the government for being too dominant, fueled by competitors and haters. And unfortunately, I think that's going to happen. I mean, we see it in it with Apple Pay that, like, just I think even today. The German government basically is trying to force Apple to open up the NFC chip because they're saying Apple's too dominant in this space and stuff like that. So it's going to happen. Like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. No, I think they've got to look carefully and start making records about, well, hang on, no one else is bothering at the moment. And we are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't give us any grief down the line when they could preempt that, head that off at the pass a little bit. So.
Yeah, and I can also tell you in the background, Apple is working on a lot of, like, with a lot of other industry partners on a lot of health stuff. They're part of a lot of like industry bodies, especially in the US. So they're being smart and like opening up, or either following standards or opening up a lot of the things they do.
Yeah. Markets generally work better when there's lots of competition. It's not just about a dominant incumbent. So it's Bob Beach.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. Last story then was, if you would like lunch with Tim, that's not happening at the moment. But you can have lunch with Luca Mystery if you want instead, a charity. Who?
And...
is he the man that's bringing you?
Ask him how much money Apple really makes. I don't know.
Current,
I'm sure he's probably a very interesting person.
Luca's sitting there going, "Yeah, old Timmy gets like $750,000 for charity just by having a bit of sushi in the Apple canteen. That's perfect. I'm going to do the same, and the current bid is $10,500."
That's
only estimating
a lot of money.
It's great for charities, don't get me wrong, but they're only estimating he's worth $50,000 anyway. That's got to hurt.
So how much do we have to pay for a night out with you, Jeff?
Well, most people They just need to buy dinner and the drinks.
Sam's put in. Sam's a bass player. He's a very good bass player, upright bass player. And so he does a lot of studios and music. So he's put, I love, he said, that's a song, Lunch with Luca.
I would listen to that song a lot. I want to hear Lunch with Luca.
You hum it. Sam will play it.
and the bass solo is just going to be epic.
The bass solo on Lunch with Luca is going to be incredible. You need to write that song, mate. You need to write that song.
I'll get on it.
Get on it, Sam. And you can come on and perform it live next week.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Lunch with Luca by Sam BS, man.
I think Suzanne Vega beat you to it.
No, she didn't do Lunch with Luca. I can't remember what it was called. It was Luca. If I am in love with you, all this anyway, I'll remember it in a minute. We're probably going to get taken down now, DMCA. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. We love them to bits. They picked up all our bandwidth now for a year. They stepped in when we were at rock bottom with the people that we had just wouldn't accept the charge on the bandwidth for us anymore. And they stepped in and helped us out. We love them. And if you'd like anything for hosting, domain names, web hosting, servers, private servers, public servers, VPSs, VPNs, that kind of stuff, they're the people to go to, no question. Particularly if you want WordPress. So if you'd like a WordPress site, then make sure you check them out. You can get up to 20% off that service if you use the offer code BTN20. Any web hosting stuff, any hosting needs that you've got, you'll get 20% off. But that's not what they want from you. What they want is brand recognition. They need you getting out on the socials and saying thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because without the servers that they give us, they give us two mahoosive servers to cope with everything that we've got. Without them, we really would just disappear into the ether. We couldn't afford the bandwidth for it. But you can get WordPress hosted sites up for £12 per year. Per year, not month. £12 per year. Really great specs as well. And you can go all the way up to a massive e-commerce site at £60 a year with a shop and everything in it. Absolutely superb. WordPress has really built its game up a little bit lately. It's an awful lot more usable for the idiot like myself than it used to be once you've got the template installed. But check them out. Go to tsohost.com and you can look at their WordPress stuff. And you can also go out on the socials and say thanks to them for supporting us. We wouldn't be doing this podcast without them. And also, you've had the boys here this afternoon throwing a bit of input in. I'm in Max. They are supporters of our network. We love them to bits as well. If you've got a Mac that is failing or ailing, or whether you've got a screen on a phone that's got a tiny crack in it or chip in it, go and see them because they will fix it for you. And one of the tweets that came out this week was that if you've got an iPhone 8, then it's got a scratch or a chip in it, go and see them because they have got cheaper. The screens, since the iPhone 11 release, the screens for the iPhone 8 have tumbled in price. So it's a lot more affordable now to get them fixed by IMN Max, if you could. I've also got mine done. Here we go. That was done by the boys last week, and it's gorgeous. Having a screen back that you don't have to apologize and say to people, yeah, so have a look at this. Oh, sorry about the screen, but, you know. So if you're thinking as well, okay, but, you know, I don't want that. I just want a cheap machine for the kids. They can help you with that too. This is one of theirs. This is a 2015-inch MacBook Pro. They strip it down and they stick an SSD in it, give it a bit of new RAM, so it's running like a far better machine than it is, and they'll sell it to you, and you can give it to the kids, and it's perfect for them to do their homework on or all that kind of stuff, or watch it. But if you subscribe to Apple TV or Apple Music on the family, you can authorize it. You think, going, yeah, but how much? They've got machines like this for £300. Just that. That's it. So they've revamped it, looked after it, put an SSD in it, run sweet as a nut, and £300 will get you a nice computer for the kids so that they can do the homework and all that kind of stuff. And it's a Mac as well, so it'll be really, really good. Really, really worth having.
Definitely have a look at that.
Yeah, go to imnmax.com and they will do your repairs. They'll give you refurbished machines. They'll give you old iPhones that are refurbished and Macs as well. And they also, and this is the best bit, is if you've got your machine and you've gone, do you know what? I screwed up. I think I might have wiped everything. They do data recovery too. So go and check them out for that. And I've had a couple of chats with Mo, and he's told me a few that they've had someone come in and go, I think I've really screwed it. And they've got the data back for them. So go and check him out. imnmax.com. Follow him at imnmax on Twitter as well. And just like you do with TSO hosts, when you say thanks to them for supporting us, make sure you include imnmax, because without them, again, these are the people that look after the network. These are the people that keep us up and running. So thanks very much, boys. Really appreciate you you being around.
Hey, I have a question about imnmax.
Okay. You'll have to wait till they've seen the feed and then replied, but go on.
That's okay, because I'm here every week, pretty much every week. So let's say that I'm traveling in the UK and something happens with my MacBook Pro or my iPhone or my iPad. Can they work on devices from other countries?
I would say yes, they could if they're out of warranty. I mean, if you've got warranty issues, then I'm not sure. But
if it was warranty, I would just pop into an Apple store. So out of warranty.
Yeah, if you're traveling in the UK and you've got a fault with your machine, you can just bring it to them. You can post it. You can send it special delivery and they'll do it. Muller's just put a question in. Is it worth sticking an SSD in my 2014 Mac Mini? And Joe said, yeah, absolutely, it is. And let us at it. Most definitely we can. SSD is one of the big upgrades, isn't it? I mean, that's like the biggest thing you can do for an old Mac is whack an SSD, and that makes a massive difference. And max it out on RAM. You can get RAM dirt cheap now as well. So,
And Joe says that international, not a problem.
There we go. So awesome. You're traveling. Well, so the thing is as well, so like Patrice is in Germany, and we're a small nation there, entity. You can probably special D it from Birmingham just as cheap as you can send it from Austria to the boys as well. So it's only the cost of £30 or something like that on a courier. They'll fix it for you, send it back, and that's it. It's good. Mm-hmm. There you go. That works. Well done. So you should have turned up last week, boys. Right, time for the cool thing. And we can't pick imnmax because they are super cool. And thanks for coming along, fellas. Really good. And looking forward to seeing Callum on here next week, stuttering over his words. Looking shooting daggers at Joe. Start us off, Patrice. Give us your cool thing.
Yeah, my cool thing is an email app. It's kind of like an older app, like has been around for a while. I might have picked it at some point. The reason I'm picking it again is I went back to it. I had been using on my MacBook, I had been using Apple Mail for a while and it was driving me nuts. I mean, to the point where like I was sending emails and they weren't even showing up in the sent mail folder on other devices and stuff like that. I could clearly see them here, but they were not showing up. So I was just fed up, and my usual go-to Spark is reserved for my my corporate email account on the Mac, because like I want to have that separate. So I had a look and I went back to AirMail, and it is a really good app. I mean, it handles the insane amount of email accounts I have really well. No complaints. Like I'm using it all day, every day. And it's like, for the most part, I think it's like $4.99 or something. I can't remember how much it is since I've had it for forever. But it's a really solid app, and it has been getting better and better over the years. Like it's one of the few apps that actually, other than Spark, I would say, that actually work well and keep improving, which is rare in the email space. Like email apps, I don't know what it is about them, but most of them have like driven me insane. Like they barely ever work the way I wanted them or at all. Like even Apple's Mail app apparently is still not good, and that has been around for forever.
So you know, I've got deep mental scars when it comes to email apps. Because I can't remember the one that it was, but I used an email app and I absolutely adored it. And then Google bought it and killed it in a week. And it was just like, kidding me. And I'd got used, and I really had got into using it well. It was functioning for me beautifully. Mm-hmm. So then I went back to, and I had no choice, I went back to Mail app for a while. And then I just thought, well, I don't want to invest emotionally in a mail app anymore to have someone buy it and kill it off. And I've just stayed away from other mail apps ever since, because I'm scared to death of doing that again. Mm-hmm. And I think I am. I think I'm actually scarred. I've got PTSD.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I didn't use, I think it was called Mailbox, if I remember correctly.
Thank you. Yeah, Joe's put it on.
Yeah.
So, like... but I've been the same way. Like either they didn't work properly, and I mean, email nowadays, especially like in any kind of job, like it's like an essential tool. It's probably the tool. that you need. Like you need an email app, and you need a calendar, and usually like some kind of chat, and that's it. So if something like that doesn't work or breaks or goes away, like, and all your workflows and your shortcuts and everything you have like goes away, it's scary.
Yeah, no, it is. There you go. I don't feel so bad now. I thought I was being a bit of a pussy, but I'm right. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Thank you.
I get it. Hey, Patrice, I have a question about airmail because it's been a long time since I tried it. Do you know if it supports email aliases on it iOS? Does.
I'm using it pretty well, actually. Way better than the native mail app. Like the native mail app is kind of weird. No, it does. Like I'm using it.
Okay. Then it's time for me to give airmail another try because I liked it when I played with it a long time ago, but it didn't support email aliases. So, all right. Well, it looks like I have homework for the weekend.
Good thing it's Friday.
Yes.
You haven't got B yet, though. Right, Jeffrey, it's your cool thing.
My cool thing is it's an Apple Arcade game.
Oh, who's cancelled it? Bob's just cancelled it, hasn't he? Stiff shit, mate. You're right.
Yeah, so sorry, man. It's called Manifold Garden, and it's like an exploration puzzle sort of game, and it has kind of an M.C. Escher sort of feel, meaning that the walls and floors are interchangeable, so you can just hop from the floor to a wall. Now that becomes a floor, and you have to do that to be able to navigate through these mazes, and the objective is to explore, and as you explore you can unlock, like, you know, like literally unlock with the keys different areas, and over time you're kind of like bringing the place back to life. But really the objective is just explore, and the graphics are not complex, but it doesn't matter because the way this world is constructed, the simple graphics work really well, and it's to me it's a fun, relaxing game. And you do need, I'm playing it on Apple TV, you do need a game controller. Since I haven't tried it on iPhone or iPad, I don't know if you need a game controller there, but definitely on Apple TV.
3 gigabyte game.
It took a while to download. And the first time it launched, I thought my Apple TV froze up. But after the first launch, it's been fine.
Bob's left the chat room. I've obviously really upset him. Sorry, mate.
Sorry, Bob.
He's broken his pipe over his knee and walked away.
Cool thing. It's
a cool thing. You never stick around with that, does he, no? Good pick, mate. Like that one. Muller, what have you got for us, buddy?
Well, I bought myself a new 4K TV, Samsung. And it's got. I want to talk about the Samsung Apple TV Plus app.
Yeah, and we had a talk before we started, and your experience is pretty good, actually. I think.
It's excellent.
It speaks volumes for Apple.
Yeah, it does, because normally I'm quite critical, but it was easy to sign up. You just put a code in, which you come up on your computer, then burst into life. All my films are there. I've got access to 4K movies. Now the TV cost me nearly £600, but if I was to get a 4K setup with an Apple TV, I gotta pay £200 for an Apple TV. So
yeah,
it's quite good value.
But you were saying the AirPlay still works and all that
AirPlay,
stuff.
AirPlay, yeah. So yeah. If you try to AirPlay to it, it pops up with a number on the screen. You type it onto your iPad, and that works as well. The only thing about the Apple TV app on Samsung is it doesn't include all the extras in your films. So you probably, if you want to watch them, you're going to have to AirPlay them across from an iPad or an iPhone. But I have been really impressed. And it's still, it's silky smooth. I was going to say another word then. With nasal things in it, but probably didn't.
No,
But it really, really good. I've got no access to 4K movies on Samsung with the Apple TV app. Brilliant.
Nice.
And you don't need an Apple TV, because somebody had to go at me in the Slack room and said, you need an Apple TV.
No, you
don't.
It's, and you were saying the AirPlay works without an Apple TV as well.
It does, yeah. It's
really, really, really good AirPlay TV. Yeah, spot on.
Absolutely, really. And it works excellently, really well. And it, yeah, I recommended.
Excellent. Cool thing. Good. My cool thing is not actually Apple related at all. So.
Oh, right. I'm having a go then. After all what you said to me last week.
Yeah, no, I got rid of a bit of gear that I didn't want, like I say. And I went into Calumet in Birmingham. Hello, Adele, if you're watching, because she's lovely. She looked after me. And I saw these because I was looking at the Loom Cubes. And you know, Andy Inatko goes on about the Loom Cube, loves them. So I thought, I'll have a Loom Cube. And then I saw these. So this is the Lytra. This is by Canon. And this little tiny thing is the same size as a Loom Cube. It's got two quarter-inch or 3/8 connectors on the bottom. And you can get a little clip that fits on the back as well that you can clip it onto like a head torch or something like that, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. And it's quite weighty. It's a really, really well-made piece of equipment. 14 hours of battery life on it. And if you do it on the strobe, and it's 1 hour 40 of continuous use on the highest level. So I switched it on and she said, yeah, don't look into it. I said, yeah, I've worked that out now. Thanks. And I said, how much is it? And she started to point towards the label. And it's like, I can't see the label anymore. It's that bright. But so I'm going to put it on. There we go. Now that's the lowest setting and it goes up even higher. So that's the highest setting. And it's really, really bright. It's excellent. It's absolutely stunning. And then you can switch. If you've got any problems with flashing lights, I'd just switch the video feed off now. But if you switch it again, it goes into a pulsing mode. So you can use it for a beacon or something like that, or you can use it on your bike and just clip it onto your helmet so mm-hmm. you've got a safety light running. And it comes with this little diffuser. So that's the standard without it. And then you just get this little cap on and it gives you a nice little softer light on the person. And I was dead impressed with it. It's £99, so it's not cheap. And then the other one is the same thing but bigger. And that comes in, that's at 5% at the moment, so you can get that up to 100%. If I go all the way up, hang on. There you go, that's 100%. That's really bright, really, really bright. And but you can also change the Kelvin on it. So that's at 3,600 Kelvin. And you're probably not going to see this because I don't think it's blowing the hell out of me. So, but you can change the light so it's really full blue and then goes back to the 3,600 Kelvin is very yellow. There you can see that, James, it's just gone back to yellow. That's 230 quid, so it's not as cheap. And it comes also with a little diffuser cap that you can stick over the top. But they are stunning. And they come with three cold shoe fits as well, so you can stick them on top of your video camera. Out on site, nice. That would be enough for me to use as a light just to illuminate someone on a dark night. Absolutely brilliant. Really, really impressed with them. And
how much were they?
£99 for the little one and £230 for the big one. So not cheap, but I had the money to spend. It was burning all in my pocket, so there you go.
That's actually not that expensive for what it does.
Joe's put, well done you, and you've just reflashed someone's EFI on their motherboard with that light. Salmon says, and it has control for color. Yeah, it does. So you can take it from 3.6 Kelvin down to 6,000 Kelvin, so or up to whichever you want to go. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
As always, every week here on the Mac Show, on the Big Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. Back in for the Big Show later, 8 p.m.
Yes, of course.
Superb. Also back for the Big Show, Jeffrey.
Of course, back for the Big Show. You know, I really do look forward to Fridays because this is just so much fun doing the Mac Show and the Big Show.
It is.
And yeah, just getting to hang out with all these cool people. I love it.
I always say as soon as I sit down and I switch everyone, the first one dials in, that's it. I'm up for it and I love it.
Yeah. You know, the worst part of doing the shows for me is dealing with whatever problem Skype is going to throw at me before I dial in.
Absolutely.
And then after that, it's all cake. Where can people find me? TextExpander.com and on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamet, and on all the podcasts.
Excellent, mate. Sam is putting in, it's got Bluetooth control on it as well, which I didn't know. So I'll have to do that. I'll have to check that out during the break. Yeah, Bluetooth control. Superb. And Muller, where can people get a hold of you?
Muller Biker on Twitter and Muller999 on Instagram, and I'm in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, 12 Space Media on Instagram if you want to solicit me photography stuff, that kind of thing. We've also got at British Tech on Twitter and on Instagram too, and on Facebook. There's a page on Facebook for it all, so you can link in there. Please, please, so you want to check out TSO Host and I'm in Mac and give them your love and support because they mean a lot to us. We'll be back again at 8 p.m. with The Big Show and back again next week with The Mac Show as normal. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.